Have you ever stopped to think about life? Really think about it. Its fragility, maybe, or whether there's, you know, more to it all than what we just see every day.
It's a deep question. What if, like, our whole existence is being shaped by things we can't actually see or touch?
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. These really big questions about life, destiny, and maybe these unseen spiritual forces that our source suggests are playing a role.
Yeah, our guide here is Hidden Lifelight, Navigating Spiritual Wisdom and Destiny. And it definitely offers a different kind of perspective on these existential truths.
Right. And our goal here is basically to give you a shortcut into the thinking from this source. Its insights, its viewpoint on life's hidden sides, maybe offer you a fresh way to think about your own experiences.
Let's get into it. One of the first things that jumps out from Hidden Lifelight is how it talks about life itself.
How so?
It calls it a phenomenon beyond human description and understanding, which is already quite a statement.
Wow, beyond understanding.
And then it uses this image saying life is too delicate and fragile, just as an egg is.
An egg. That's quite specific. It paints a picture of vulnerability.
It really does. And the idea seems to be that life's core essence is just slippery, hard to grasp just by looking at the physical stuff.
And the source connects that fragility to things we experience, right? Mm. Like hospitals and doctors.
Exactly. It points to all these systems we have, hospitals, oxygen drips, you name it. Things that, as it says, have helped to save life so that one more other day, months or years to live is added before something strikes again.
So it's basically saying, look, life is complicated and delicate. It needs constant looking after, constant protection.
Mm-hmm. It's inherently precarious, which then leads into this next big idea. What happens when this delicate physical life ends?
Right. What does the source say about that?
It suggests the soul, which is spiritual, gets out into the spiritual realm to exist in another form.
Okay. So a transition to a spiritual existence.
Oh.
Yes. And this isn't random. It ties directly into purpose. The source argues humanity was created for a purpose, not just accidentally.
Not without a purpose. So this earthly life is what? Like a phase?
Kind of. It calls it a moment of experience under law for awareness of God's purpose. So our time here is framed as being linked to some larger divine plan or intention.
Okay, so if there's this purpose, how do our everyday actions, our choices, fit in? I mean, deciding what to eat for lunch doesn't feel very spiritually significant sometimes.
Well, this is where the source makes a pretty bold claim. It says, decisions you make every day are a great part of spiritual craft works going on in the invisible realm.
Spiritual craft works. So my choices are like echoing somewhere else.
That's the idea. They're not just personal. They're shaping something unseen. And there's a warning attached.
Oh.
That without being aware of this, you may end up entangled in wrong ties of doom.
Entangled. Okay, that sounds serious.
It does. And it leads the source to ask you directly which spirit guides your life. Who is your master? It's pushing for some deep self-reflection on what's really driving your actions.
I can see how that might sound a bit out there for some people. The source even acknowledges that, right? Calls it unimportant, funny.
And not for this world to care of. Yeah, it gets that this isn't typical everyday thinking, but it insists that knowing the spirit behind things is crucial.
Crucial for what?
Exactly. For a successful life. But success here isn't just material. It's defined as spiritual, and that is far more original as marked by eternity.
Ah, okay. So success viewed through an eternal spiritual lens.
Precisely. And grasping this, it says, takes the wisdom of spiritual awakening. It implies someone only focused on the physical, a fleshly individual, might struggle to see it.
Does it give any examples of these guiding spirits or influences?
It does. It talks about a spirit of self-condemnation, describes how it whispers nothing good about you, how it breaks your heart.
Wow. That's quite dark.
It is. And it even links this spirit to why some committed and quite many will continue to commit suicide. It's showing the potential real-world impact of these unseen forces.
And it says there are many kinds of these spirits.
Yes. Many types of spirits or minds, each with its own agenda, bad or good. It paints a picture of, well, a constant unseen struggle for influence over us.
That idea of struggle seems to connect to another core theme, light and darkness.
Exactly. The source states plainly, light and darkness exist naturally and spiritually, both realms.
And why are they both there? Just as opposite.
According to this, they are there to teach everyone to choose freely yet wisely. They provide the contrast needed for meaningful choice.
So what defines light in this view?
Light is about sight, clarity, safety, It's a sign of fatherly care and provision. Think security, understanding.
And darkness.
Darkness is fierce. It represents vulnerability, hopelessness. It's seen as a harbor of evil and a sign of death, something to be avoided.
It acknowledges, though, that life has these unwanted things, like death and pain, which clash with, say, tranquility.
Right. It doesn't shy away from that reality. It seems to frame them as part of this landscape where we learn to choose.
Okay, moving on. The source then talks about our life's path, our trajectory. How does that fit in?
It argues that the events making our life trajectory and history are more spiritually determined.
More spiritually determined. So less about our own plans and more about unseen factors.
That seems to be the implication. It makes us feel like a vessel, often unsure of what tomorrow holds because these deeper currents are at play.
That sounds like it could feel quite disempowering, maybe.
Or perhaps humbling. It definitely made the author reevaluate things profoundly.
How so?
Well, the author shares this personal realization that even a long life, say 120 years of age, is a tiny fraction as measured against eternity of time.
Puts things in perspective.
Hugely. And the author is really open about having previously held a grudge with the creator over things like short lives, diseases, death, even admitting to thinking God was bad at funerals.
That's very candid. Mm-hmm. So the author had a real shift in understanding.
Absolutely. From resentment to understanding this important existential truth. And that transformation seems to be a big reason for writing the book.
To help others see it too.
Yes. To help fellow brethren understand, to give light, life and hope unto those fainting and hopeless souls, especially those maybe caught up with what it calls fake spirits of doom.
And part of that hope is the affirmation of life after death.
A strong affirmation that there is abundant and perfect life after the death of the natural body, a continuation, a miracle of your existence.
So if this is the reality presented, what's the recommended course of action?
The source is very clear. It's critical to know God and follow him. It emphasizes that God has his laws for good life in him.
And this isn't just about the afterlife. It impacts life now.
Definitely. It suggests you can actually live a perfect life of fullness in the original and unfailing plan of God, even while in the flesh.
Oh.
By understanding and applying God's principles for governance and authority on his creation, it's about aligning with that divine purpose right now.
Okay, earlier we touched on these spirits or influences.
Yeah.
The source seems to elaborate on this, describing a kind of spiritual battlefield.
It does. It talks about differing personalities in the spiritual realm. It lists them out. Selfish ones, rebellious, generational, darkness, demons, satanic, and the Holy Spirit.
It's quite a roster.
Mm.
And they're all vying for influence.
Exactly. All aspiring to take lead of the life of the vessel, your flesh. It's depicted as an intense, invisible competition.
How does that work?
Each spirit is invisibly busy working to attract the vessel, to submit to it so that you satisfy its desires. Navigating this, the source says, requires perfect and spiritual wisdom.
And the stakes are our destiny.
Pretty much. As long as you exist, your final destiny and your life trajectory is guided by one or more of these spirits. The one you yield to will determine your destiny. Eyes light, darkness, life, death, heaven, or hell.
Wow. That links our choices, even seemingly small ones, to ultimate outcomes.
It also connects our current life experiences, good or bad, to choices made perhaps even by previous generations.
By parents or forefathers.
Yes, suggesting these choices create links to the spiritual characters fulfilling needs and desires of invisible beings.
It gives examples too, right? Like trying to please ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
People working hard to please the dead, forefathers or ancestors, or those who believe in divination, feeling they're possessed or led by a particular spirit. It highlights how common these spiritual connections are, even if not always recognized as such.
This all builds up to what the source calls a war of truth.
A war of truth in the spiritual realm, yeah. A fundamental war of light and darkness.
And it points to the Bible as the authority on this. Explicitly, the only book of truth, the Bible testifies this, and it cites specific passages in Revelation. It calls the Bible the only trusted and accepted universal source revealing truth about God's creation and his ways. That's clearly the foundation it's building on.
But it also says we are originally spiritual.
Yes, you're original, you are spiritual. And that part of us groans because of unfulfilled desires as real life events tend to be off track.
But we still have agency. We can choose.
Absolutely. We have the power to choose light before darkness or truth and righteousness. It's presented as an active, ongoing choice.
Life is framed almost like a game then.
a living play game, it says, designed to find good and best players, which again reinforces that humanity has a great purpose in the creator's mind.
And with purpose comes accountability.
Definitely. Take guard on your choices, knowing that the author of this life and creation will surely fairly require of us a report of how we used his resources. It's a call to be mindful stewards of the life we're given.
So amidst all this complexity, this spiritual warfare, is there a clear path forward offered?
Yes. The source points very clearly to the way of Jesus Christ and the cross.
How does that fit in?
It says this path clears all this spiritual nonsense and competition and reveals God's purpose through Jesus' death, leading to what it calls sonship. It cites John 1.12 for that.
Sonship, becoming children of God through belief.
That's the concept, yes. A pathway established by God, who is described as a God of order, providing a clear, mighty pathway to him and his kingdom.
And this pathway is through Jesus.
Through Jesus Christ, who is also a gift of the Holy Spirit for us who believe. It loops back to the core idea. Life is spiritual, and we are originally spiritual. This natural life is just a season before we return to that original spiritual form.
Okay, so after all that deep exploration, it seems to really emphasize awareness.
Critical awareness, yes. That's presented as the key. Wisdom is defined as to summon strong presence or awareness of every action you take before doing it. Intentionality.
And how do you develop that?
Through a mind that actively seeks to know the truth and live reality according to the dictates of the Creator. It's about cultivating a sober mind that seeks original satisfaction through knowledge and truth, especially knowledge of God and his ways.
So it's an active pursuit of understanding.
Right. And the benefit. This awareness helps you know the real spirit of life that created you and understand the purpose and end of all these things.
Which brings us back to the idea of this life being temporary.
Exactly. The source concludes quite starkly, "We live for a short while in order to pass so that something begins outside of this natural realm."
So just to recap this deep dive into hidden life light, we've looked at life's spiritual core, these invisible forces, the weight of our choices, and this idea of a creator's path towards purpose and destiny.
It really paints a picture of existence that's deeply interconnected with a spiritual reality, far beyond just the physical world we see.
And the point isn't just abstract theory. It's presented as directly impacting your life, your journey, the choices you make every single day.
Shaping your destiny, potentially, in ways you might not have even considered before.
Which leaves us with a pretty big thought to chew on. If this natural life really is, as the source puts it, just a short while in order to pass before something begins outside of this natural realm.
Yeah, what does that actually mean for how we value things now? Success, achievements, our daily focus during this season.
What might you, listening right now, be preparing for?
Yeah.
Consciously, or maybe unconsciously. Something to definitely ponder.